Hi guys, it's Violet Cloud again, hitting you up with another episode of Violet Cloud's Guide to Transgression. Hi guys, it's Violet Cloud again. This episode 3, is also going to be about bisexuality, but this time I'm going to approach it a little bit differently. I'm going to kind of give a pagan response to bisexuality and issues of sexuality in general, and showing how it relates to paganism, and Wicca in particular. Now, kind of a disclaimer, I'm not Wiccan anymore. I don't consider myself Wiccan. I do have a very strong background in Wicca, and much of my practice now is still very Wiccan influenced, their structure of ritual is how I go about it. In some instances, it kind of just depends. It's a little bit, anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, I'm very much still involved in the Wiccan community, even though I have very different ideas about certain things. I interpret the read in a way that seems to be not what everyone else interprets it as, and other issues like that. But again, I'm still very much in the Wiccan side of the community of general eclectic pagans, and partially because they're just the most vocal and easy to access, and I do like to have pagan friends that I can share discussion with. But that's beside the point. Let's get back to the real issue here, and that is how sexuality and bisexuality in particular kind of intersect with paganism, or rather in Wicca. Or rather, why they butt heads. Much of Wicca is framed within kind of a heteronormative context. And that's not to say that Wicca is sexist, clearly it's not, but it is going along with many of the sexist ideas that we've learned through our culture and through the more pervasive religions of our society. And that can be a problem. For example, the goddess and god, the goddess and god in any kind of archetype or narrative that you use is gendered and is polarized and paired in that formation. The goddess and god, they're paired in that normative, heteronormative way. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong that they should be paired in another way, or they should be this or that, and I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying it's wrong, but for many people, including myself, that kind of framework doesn't work in how I see the world. Now, by that I mean that I cannot allow my perception of deity to sanction one particular sexuality or one particular gender performance or one particular gender narrative over any other, and it's just not how I see the world. It's forcing the false binary that we've created, that is to say, it's forcing the false idea of masculine and feminine as like a natural thing occurring in the universe, it's forcing that onto the gods and onto how we see the gods. Now, on one hand, I understand that however we view deity, they kind of follow archetypes, but they are seen as different faces of deity and faces that we can recognize and tap into and have a relationship with, because those are faces and aspects that we can recognize and that we can communicate to very easily. All that is well and good. However, when those characteristics just kind of go along with many of the things in our society that help to split us up, or that are sexist, or that are prejudiced, or genderist, or what have you, then that creates a problem. In the case of this polarization of goddess and god, it's, well, first of all, it's reinforcing homophobia and biphobia and all these things, even transphobia if you go that far. It seems to be reinforcing those things. So yeah, that's not good. Yeah, it's definitely something that I can't allow in my own practice. So, yes. And the problem is that this heteronormativity, as exemplified by how many people view the goddess and god and their relationship and their narrative, is reflected in many pagan religions. I think that it would go a long way for people to at least recognize that, and at least recognize how it kind of produces and reinforces a sense of homophobia, or a type of homophobia, and a type of difficulty that can come up for people who aren't straight, or for people who don't see only one type of sexuality. So again, I'd rather my gods not sanction one type of sexuality. Another disclaimer here, I haven't necessarily made one solid solution to this, or one solid way of viewing this that can be an alternative to that. I know some authors have thrown away the idea of polarity and talked about, I believe it's resonance, or something like that, where it's not about polarity and these false notion of opposites or anything like that, but it's more like how those two things feed off of each other, or kind of have a give and take type of relationship. So the pressure is kind of taken off of the gender aspect and more into the personality and characteristic aspect. On the other hand, I'm not sure if I'm as comfortable with that either. It definitely does make more sense, I think, to me. But, you know. Yeah. And if it sounds like I'm completely confused, I'm not. It's just that I'm not exactly settled in, like I said, I'm not settled in an answer or an alternative to previous ways of looking at it. Yeah. So anyway, something that might be more comfortable for me, instead of pairing the god and goddess in a heteronormative way and kind of giving them a narrative of, you know, mother slash wife and son slash consort or whatever, might help for them to be perhaps twins or something like that. Also so that it does not create a kind of sub-dom kind of relationship. So these are just ideas that I'm throwing out there, and I'd like to hear your ideas. This goes for any recordings that I make. You know, please feel free to kind of respond or, you know, respectfully give your opinion or whatever, or disrespectfully, whatever, I'm prepared for it. Not that I'm inviting that, whatever. Anyway, yeah, so you know what, I'm gonna leave it at that, and I'll see what I get, and I'll continue thinking about it, of course, I'll keep popping it up. From here on out, I already have another post prepared about the pagan binary and a follow-up on that. And I haven't listened to those in a while, so if they're okay, then I will post those up and kind of support, you know, what I'm saying, what I have said in this post. And some future episodes, I also have a little something on one of my favorite stones. And I'm going to start a series on ethics, in particular Wiccan ethics, and I'll kind of draw that in contrast to my own view of, I guess, spiritual ethics. And then I want to talk a little bit about esoteric correspondences. And by that I mean, you know, those correspondences that you see that are so just obscure, and you're like, well, how does, you know, a cockroach mean this and that and the other? Like, what does that mean? You know, like, just these kind of random, seemingly random correspondences that you will find in just about every book. And some things that just don't seem to make sense. And I go on about either how to ignore them or how to just create your own that makes sense for you. Now, that's not to say that you can just make up, like, I mean, with herbalism, for example, you can't just pick up a random herb and use it and be like, well, it means this and it's for this and the other. I mean, that's a, come on now, you know, let's not go too far with that. On the other hand, a lot of the symbolism of things are based on you and based on your history, your psychology, and how you see things. So I see no problem in making your own set of correspondences for certain things. So, you know, especially like things like colors and stuff like that. I go on for quite some time about that in that post. So anyway, that's just a preview for some future episodes coming up. And I hope you're enjoying this so far. I'm enjoying making these recordings. So, all right, I will see you all soon. Okay, bye.